The internet. Tonight, I just want to share a portion that I've been studying in the midst of my studies recently. And the topic of this is focusing on true freedom. Focusing on true freedom. Focusing on the format and the guidelines of the one who is my freedom giver. Because there's an enemy out there that's in direct contrast to the freedom giver and in direct contrast to what God has for me. And the Word of God says in John chapter 10, verse 10, that individual that's in contrast with us desires to steal, rob, and destroy all that God has desired for us. And so tonight we're going to read a few passages. So if you would open your Bibles with me to a few Old Testament, and then we'll jump into the New Testament. Let's look at Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. This is a familiar passage, and yet, anytime I utter those words that it's a familiar passage, I'm always caught up to say we know nothing as we ought to know it. So in Genesis chapter 20, verse 1 says this, "And then God spoke and all these words, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt and out of slavery. And you shall have no other gods before me. And you shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I am the Lord your God, and I am a jealous God, punishing the children of the children for the sins of the fathers to the third and the fourth generation and those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations and to those who love me and keep my commandments." Father, bless this portion tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God says here to the children of Israel, as he kicks it off, he says, listen, I have set you free. So I'm pausing on purpose tonight. Because God has set us free. Many times we get so Christianized that we forget the simplicity that God has set us free tonight. The important part that I want to point out here is that he set them free before he gave them any rules. Before he asked them to do a single commandment, he set them free. That's the God, that's the freedom giver tonight. And he says here, he says that because I've set you free, I don't want you, I'm a jealous God, I don't want you to have any other gods before me. And I'm going to give you some boundaries. And with these boundaries, you're going to see that if you stay within these boundaries, you'll truly be free. And you'll remain that way. You know, one of the things that people say, I've had somebody ask me, we did a study one time on the Ten Commandments. They said, which one is the most important one? I said, well, he said, first, don't have any gods before me. I guess that's the most important one. Because from that one, if we get that wrong, then everything goes downhill from there. And so tonight, as we focus on true freedom, I want you to think about this. He says, I have set you free. As long as you stick to these guidelines and boundaries, you'll remain that way. So I have a question for us tonight as believers. Where's our focus tonight? Where's our focus? And before we answer the Christian answer, well, I'm in church tonight, so my focus is on Jesus. I want you to just think with me tonight. Be a little vulnerable before the throne of God tonight. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Where's your focus? Because when our focus goes astray and we listen to a different voice, what I say doesn't make sense to the keen ear. There's a story about a man who went to his pastor and said, Pastor, I can't believe it. 3 weeks ago, my father died and left me $50,000, and I'm so depressed. And he said, I'm really sorry for your loss. He goes, but that's not all. He said, 2 weeks ago, my aunt died, and she left me $20,000, and I'm just so depressed. The pastor's starting to wonder now, what's going on? He said, and then a week ago, my cousin died and left me $10,000. Man, I'm depressed. And he said, now, are you depressed because they died? Because you've got $80,000. He says, no, Pastor, I'm just depressed. Nobody died this week. So you see that his focus was on money. His focus wasn't on life. And our focus today, in this day and age, we can get all sidetracked on many different things. And God says, I need your focus to stay within the boundaries of the thinking that I've laid out for you. As we think about focus, some of you have heard this story that there was a factory worker that was leaving a factory every day, and as he went out the factory, he wheeled a wheelbarrow out to his car, and when he got to the gate, the guard said, oh, hang on, what are you taking out? He goes, well, I just have this little box. Well, what's in the box? Can't be taking anything from the factory. He said, well, you can search it. So he opened up the box, and it's just sawdust. Okay, go ahead. And the next day he checked him again. And the next day he did it. He said, you know what? You're going to stop right there. Because you're doing something, and I just can't figure it out. But I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. Because I'm focusing on you. And the man did this for another 2 weeks. Finally, he says, all right, stop. I got to know. I won't get you in trouble, but I just got to know. You come out here every day. You wheel out here. You have this box. And the only thing that's in the box is sawdust. I don't get what are you up to? He says, are you sure you won't get me in trouble? He says, no. He goes, well, the truth of the matter is, for the last 3 weeks, I've been stealing wheelbarrows. So the point is that he was focusing on what he thought was important. And right under his nose, it was being robbed. And I would challenge us tonight, saints, that that's what the devil wants to do. Right underneath your nose. Right underneath my nose. He wants us to get focused on something else than what God has called us to. Let's look at, in Genesis chapter 2, we see that God lays out the plan for Adam and Eve. And he says, now think about this. I was just talking to Doc Hansen. We were talking about what the early church must have been like. Think about this. Think about being in the garden. Man, what it must have been like to be in the garden. And God says in Genesis chapter 2, look with me at verse 15. He says, the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. This is all yours. And the Lord God commanded the man that you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you do, and you eat of it, you will surely die. And the Lord said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper, suitable for him. So now God gives him woman, and he's sitting here, and God says, look, I am going to give you the freedom of this whole garden. I'm going to give you one boundary. How many times have you either said that to a person or maybe your kids? Man, you had one job to do. Look, I've given you the whole thing. I'm giving you one boundary. And he says here, this boundary, if broken, will lead to your death. And so he then puts him in the garden. And then let's turn over to chapter 3 and let's look at what takes place in chapter 3. Because in chapter 3, we see the woman in the garden. And then here comes Slick Willie. Here comes the devil. And he says this in it says this. And notice chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. So he's no dummy. He's crafty. And he knows your weakness, and he knows my weakness, and he knows our propensity, and he puts all these things in our way, and he says to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Now, did God say that you must not eat from any tree in the garden? And the woman said, we may eat, and we're free to eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. Interesting. I'm not sure God said anything about touching it. You will surely die, the serpent said to the woman. He said, you see, God knows that when you eat of this tree, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, this is interesting. I heard this called the Google tree, because it was really a tree of information. Look at verse 6, because this is interesting when it says this. When the woman saw the fruit. You think that was the first time she ever walked by that tree? You think that she didn't see that tree before? She didn't know what the fruit looked like before? She wasn't around it? Or do you think that because her focus was taken off of what God had actually given her as a boundary, she began to formulate what she thought God meant, and now all of a sudden she sees it in a different light? There's many things that happen today that when we stop listening to the Word of God, we stop letting this be our foundation, we begin to formulate what we think and we want to understand to be what God really meant. And she says here, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good and for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom. She took and she ate it, and she also gave it to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. And then, verse 7, their eyes were open. The woman in the garden acknowledged the boundary that God had given her. She acknowledged that God said, don't do this. This is something God has set apart in verse 2 and 3. But then she listened to the serpent in verse 4 and 5, and what happened? She lost her focus. She lost her focus. She lost her focus in verse 6, and she took it and she ate of it. When we allow our focus to stray from the freedom plan that God has given us, I want to give you three things that I believe takes place in our life. Many things happen. These are three that I just want to focus on tonight. Number one, when we allow our focus to stray from the freedom plan God has given us, we stop seeing with the eyes of Christ. We stop seeing with the eyes of Christ, and we focus on our own desires because we've heard from another voice. We stop seeing with the eyes of Christ. Paul tells us, put on the mind of Christ. That means if you have the mind of Christ, then you're going to see with the eyes of Christ. You're going to think with the mind of Christ. You're going to put on the love of Christ. You're going to put on the compassion of Christ. We're motivated by the love of Christ to serve others. But when we give ears to another speaker as our source, think about that. When you give ears to another speaker, that's why it's so important. Revelation 3, on and on, it says this. To them that have ears to hear, let them hear me. How we hear tonight, how we perceive things are so important to the plan of God. And not just the plan of God, but our freedom. People talk about freedom all the time. I want to be free. I want to be free indeed. We quote that verse from John chapter 8. And yet, The core is, God says, I have laid out this plan and I have given you some boundaries. And these boundaries are, I have freed you. Don't have any other gods before me. Now we may say, well, Pastor Kevin, look, it's I don't know if you noticed, but it's 2020. Believe me, I've noticed it's 2020. And we don't have, nobody's whittling idols or gods over here. But I want you to think about this. We stop seeing with the eyes of Christ. We give ears to another speaker because it says that she heard him and she saw that it was good. When we take our eyes off the boundaries, we begin to see things. We begin to hear things. And we begin to reason things away. I am shocked today at the amount of reasoning away that the body of Christ is doing today. I know what God says. If I hear this one more time, I'll scream. I know what that verse says, but I'm just saying, what are you saying? You're saying that you're stepping outside and you're giving ears to a different voice. And in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of social unrest, in the midst of craziness with political issues, I'm saying tonight, the foundation that is set from everlasting to everlasting is the place where we have to put our focus back on so that freedom is experienced in the way that God meant it to be. When our eyes are off the boundaries, we begin to see things, hear things, and reason things differently, driven by our own lusts. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 says this, that we henceforth no more are children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, by the cunning craftiness, whereby they lie and wait to deceive. Man, I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said to me, man, I just don't know what to believe anymore. Man, it doesn't change. The answer is still the same. And the devil's having a heyday because he has come in and said, did God really say? Come on. God's holding out on you. Genesis chapter 3, verse 11, it says this. Think about this. God comes to them after they ate of the fruit. And it's interesting that he says to them, it says that their eyes were open, and they realized what? They were naked. And what does the Lord say to them? And he said to them, who told you you were naked? Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat? Who told? God is saying to us today, you have lost your joy, you have lost your way, you have found ways to tear down and beat up and accuse everybody and their dog for your unhappiness. And he says, I'm here to tell you today, who told you that all that stuff was greater than I am? Greater than my plan. Greater than my salvation. Greater than my healing. Greater than my freedom. Greater than my mind. My thoughts, as Pastor Jim was saying on Sunday, my thoughts that are higher than your thoughts. That was an amazing message on Sunday. If I learn how to die to self, I will truly learn how to live for him in time, in testimony, in life, in freedom. And God can use me as the ambassador that I was made to be. The second thing that happens is this. When we allow our focus to stray from the freedom plan that God has given us, we then are robbed of the ultimate freedom and deal with a counterfeit that leads us into a form of godliness with no power. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, it says this, that holding to a form of godliness, although they denied the power that was there, avoid such men. It's interesting, when we read there in Ephesians chapter 4, it says that these every wind of doctrine, today there's every wind of doctrine. Look, There's so much junk out there that somebody asked me the other day, what do you think? I said, I don't know. Here's what I think. I believe God is true and every man's a liar. Because that's what the book says. Let God be true and every man a liar. So if I try to, and what's happened today is the devil comes in and he says, listen, you're a believer. You can figure this out. Figure it out. You don't need that book. Figure it out. Make a stand. And we begin to process things. We begin to say things. We begin to tweet and to post and all that other stuff. And we begin to say these things and we become those that are every wind of doctrine, and there are ones that are lying in wait to what? To deceive us. But to put on the mind of Christ and use the Word of God to not fall into a place of only having a form of godliness, but that we have the power that comes from the true freedom giver. Thirdly tonight is this. When we allow our focus to stray from the freedom plan that God has. Now I know that in some countries throwing tomatoes is a sign of appreciation. I may get some on this next one, so be careful. When we do that, we ultimately create little g gods and idols that take the place of God in his rightful place that was laid out in Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 through 3. You say, well, come on, how does that really play out? It's not wood and stone, but it's the subtle ones. You know, when I used to hear this growing up in the church preached about idols or gods, you know, it was always about sports. You can't have too many sports. You can't have it. You know, I would tell you today that there are so many things that are crafted to be an idol, crafted to be a little g god for us today, that we need to think and focus on the freedom giver today and not stray. Political parties. Sorry. There are some people that are more Republican than they are Christian. There are some people that are more Democrat than they are Christian. Race, there are some people that are more a certain race than they are another race, than they are Christian. But our identity is in Jesus Christ. Our identity and our freedom is in the freedom giver. He says, if you make all those other things, it will distract you. It will draw you away from being able to enter into the freedom that I have laid out for you. How about opinions? Opinions these days are really good. Matthew chapter 7, verse 4. How can a brother say, let me pull out that speck in your eye when they have a log in their eye? We've all seen that example, right? But I'm amazed at the amount of things that are shared as an opinion. How about this? Technology. Twitter, tweeting, twatting, Facebook, Instastop, whatever. You know what I'm amazed? God forbid any of the technology goes down because people won't know how to think anymore. The Holy Spirit has a place in our life. The Holy Spirit has a place in our life. Jesus said, I am going away, and he didn't say, I'm going to leave this or that for you. He says, I am sending a comforter, my spirit, to be with you, and it won't be the same peace that man gives you. It'll be a peace far beyond that. And so we see this, and God forbid that these things, because technology in many places in our lives today has taken a place of the Holy Spirit. And we have to be on guard. Look, I'm not saying this stuff is bad. I'm saying we have to be on guard. We have to understand and say, I'm going to run this through the eyes of Christ. If you remember a few weeks ago when Pastor Powell talked about the woman at the well in John chapter 4, he said he knew everything about her, and yet he saw her through the eyes of God. Look, tonight, church, we can be in a messed up world, and we are. For the first time in a long time, the Church of Jesus Christ is a minority in this country. And yet, when we begin to see situations through the eyes of God, when we begin to see people through the eyes of God, I begin to see somebody who disagrees with me through the eyes of God, and I don't allow that to twist or to turn the heart of God for that person. God's plan remains intact, therefore His freedom remains intact for me, and I experience true freedom that I was meant to have. Many times these things are shared lacking the mind in the person of Christ. Think about this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, as well as in chapter 10, verse 23, Paul tells us this. There are all things here are lawful. Man, not everything is expedient. And for sure, not everything is edifying. Why did he say that? Because Paul was about setting people free. I know you can, but would Christ? Does freedom choose to do this for a person? Or does freedom say, I'm going to see this situation through the eyes of Christ and I'm going to allow Him have His rightful place. I won't dethrone Him in this place. All things are lawful, but not everything edifies or is expedient. How about entertainment? Entertainment today, my goodness. Let me ask you a question. Think back 20 years ago, 10 years ago. There are things that would make you blush 20 years ago that today I've heard Christians say, you know, that's a shame. That would be sin for me to do. How did it suddenly be just acceptable and not right for me to do? Because people have allowed this thing to have a place. People care more about what an athlete says or an actor says or a musician says than what the Word of God says. We have to get back to focusing on the boundary that God has given us. And the simple boundary that He gave us tonight is that you should have no other gods before me, because I am a jealous God. Why is He jealous? Think about it. This past week I had, my wife had a doctor's appointment for her knee, and because of circumstances, I couldn't be there. So that was already frustrating enough that I couldn't be there. Then she took it and put me on her phone so I could listen. She put, you know, and the doctor wasn't really okay with that, which I didn't really care. And then I challenged the doctor. I asked him a question. I'm like, hey, could you repeat that? Because it didn't make sense to me. And then he proceeded to take a posture that... I was ready to set a new world record of how fast I could get from Seattle to Puyallup because I was about to lose my salvation. And I had to come back and I had to remind myself, look, God is in control. There is a sovereign God. I am the Lord that changes not. There is a sovereign God. Hey, is God sovereign in our lives today? If we believe that God is sovereign, then He is sovereign over all. And the devil says, look, I want to take you apart and I want to separate you. I talked with a young man this week, a precious friend of mine, and in tears, he just said, man, I feel all alone. And it broke my heart because I knew that the devil's desire is to isolate us and to get us separated. And to get us separated from the body, to get us separated from the Word, to get us separated from prayer. And so we enter into these things, and the world clamors and says, here's a better God, here's a better God, here's an idol, here's a better God. This, hey, listen, this matches up with what your old sin nature thinks, so I think this fits. Why don't you put this on for a while? And what does it do? There's a verse that says that Moses said, even though he was in the house of Pharaoh, I will not partake in the pleasure of sin for a season. Because that's all it is. When we replace God with our own desires and we live in this pseudo-freedom, guess what? It only lasts for a minute. It only lasts for a minute. And then all of a sudden, we realize that we've been robbed. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 through 48, Jesus says here, you have heard that you should love your neighbor and hate your enemies, but I say to you, he says, but I say to you, who is it? It's the freedom giver who is saying to you. The freedom giver is saying to you, but I say to you, love, pray for them that who persecute you. Why is this important? One thing that, apart from the fact that we many times get sidetracked from the fact that God is sovereign and God is God and I am not, we lose sight of the fact that who are we in the kingdom of God? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to my thinking. Be reconciled to my hearing and reconciled to my love that I poured out for you. Reconcile yourself back to that, and then you do that. Why? Because you are an ambassador of freedom today. And what's happened today in our world is that so many things clamor and we have opinions, and I've got, I'm going to say and I'm going to do what I think is right. I don't, and I would never say this, but my action says, and I don't, it doesn't matter if it lines up with the boundaries God has given me. And I have forgotten that I am an ambassador of Jesus Christ. You know, we can, there's many things that we live in, and the danger is we can fall into a place that if it doesn't affect me, I'm all right. There's a story of a, you're probably saying, man, he's got a lot of stories today. There's a story of a mouse that went into the barn, and there was a pig and a chicken and a cow. And a mouse said, hey, I was just in the house. And Farmer Brown set in a mouse trap. And they went, well, stinks to be you. And so he says, no, I'm telling you, he's setting a mousetrap. So he sets a mousetrap, and then later that day, a poisonous snake was in underneath the fridge, and he wriggled out, and he rolled over that mousetrap, and he got snapped, and as he was reeling around, he lurched up, and he bit Mrs. Brown on the leg. And she started getting really sick. So Farmer Brown says, well, I gotta make her something to feel better. Maybe I ought to make her some chicken soup. So he goes into the barn, and gets a chicken, cuts off the head, plucks it, makes some chicken soup. That lasted for 2 days, and then she wasn't getting any better. He says, I got to get back to my crops. My wife's not doing good. I've got to call some of the ladies from the church to come over and take care of Mrs. Brown. So I called them when they came over. I said, oh, man, I got to get them some breakfast. So I get some eggs because the chicken's not here anymore. And, well, hey, I got a pig. So we're going to have bacon and ham. And I'll make that. And I'll take care of them. A week went by. Mrs. Brown finally died. And they had the funeral. And you know what happens in church. You have a funeral, man. Everybody comes back to the house. He said, I don't know quite what I'm going to do because I don't have any food. I got a cow. So he went in, he killed the cow, and he fed it to all the people. Later that day, the mouse wandered back into the barn. He looked around, and he says, "My goodness, I told him he was setting a mouse trap." You see, today the devil is setting a mouse trap. And Christians, if we don't focus on true freedom, what happens is we begin to say, that doesn't affect me, and that doesn't affect me, so I'm okay. But the mind of Christ says, be alert, be watchful, because there is one that roams about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Be alert. So tonight, in closing, I want you to think with me. Why is it so important? Why is it so important to focus on true freedom? You know, some of the Christianese that is out there today talks about grace. You know, grace is such a word that's thrown around anymore. And yet we pray, or we don't pray, we just talk about it. Well, the last time I checked in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, we can't find grace unless we go to the throne of grace and pray. I was in a discussion at work the other day with some people who were blood-bought believers, and they said to me, you know, this and this, and man, they were just railing. And I said, man, it's tough, isn't it? I mean, when you spend so much time praying for these people and praying for this situation. Man, if looks could kill, I wouldn't be standing here tonight. But I said, you want grace for a situation. And Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. So what? We might find mercy and grace to help in what? A time of need. I'm not sure about y'all, but this is a time of need for all of us. Every day that I wake up is a time of need. I can't rely on my own understanding any day because it's a time of need. And finally, the importance of focusing on true freedom is in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Now, this is what's so important, saints, tonight. It was for freedom that Christ set you free. It was for freedom's sake that Christ set you free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. Man, true freedom tonight says, I'm surrounded by a mess, but I stand strong because my feet are on a solid rock. Cast your burdens upon the Lord. Psalm chapter 55, verse 22 is a reminder of his sovereignty. Cast your burdens upon the Lord and he will sustain you. Now think about this. For he will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Thank you, Jesus, for your sovereignty tonight. Thank you for your freedom tonight. Thank you for the fact that in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, that you have never left me or forsaken me or left me abandoned. So in the midst of a world that is, I will tell you tonight, as ambassadors, an ambassador goes to another place and represents. We as ambassadors tonight should come into this foreign land that we live, this foreign land that depends on CNN and FOX and forgets about the WOG, the Word of God. We should come in into this foreign land tonight and begin to say, listen, as an ambassador, I will represent the mind of the one who sent me, the one who freed me, the one who loved me, the one who gave himself for me. That's the one I'm going to represent in everything I say and do. You say, well, it sounds like you're asking me to be perfect. I'm just asking us all to be ambassadors. An ambassador doesn't do everything perfect, but I can tell you this, after a meeting, he goes back and he says, did I represent my homeland? Did I represent those who have sent me? Am I about my Father's business? At the end of the day tonight, we have a choice. We can live in the bondage that this broken world wants to give us, or we can live in true freedom. Because it was for freedom's sake that he set us free. Therefore, as ambassadors, our job is to help other people do what? Be free. Let's pray. Father, tonight we're so thankful for your love toward us. We're thankful for your freedom that you have given us. We thank you tonight that, Lord, you didn't just throw us out there and say, have at it. You said, I have given you some boundaries. Acknowledge these boundaries and then live according to them. Allow my spirit to guide you. Allow my love to be the thing that motivates you to serve others. Allow my peace to go beyond understanding that the world can offer. Allow my Holy Spirit to have his rightful place during times of turmoil. Father, tonight, we're so thankful tonight. We're so thankful tonight. God, Lord, we repent for times that we forget to be thankful. You have given us so much. You've given us a word that never changes. Times may change. Opinions may change. Thoughts may change, but your word remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we're thankful tonight, Lord. We ask you that you would just continue to raise up ambassadors for you. Continue to let us have a testimony, not of all the things we're against, but the one thing that we are for, Jesus Christ and him crucified. Let that be the testimony of our life, Lord, tonight. We ask that you would bless each one that's here. Be with those who couldn't be here tonight, those that are sick, those that are working through injuries, God. We ask that you would minister to them and just continue to pour out your wisdom, your grace, and your mercy to your people, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Okay.